In our text this morning, we find a very familiar couple of verses. And we finished last week in verse 6 with the admonition from Jesus to avoid the waste of that which is spiritually valuable on those who have set themselves in opposition to God. And now, in the verses to follow, we pick up in verse 7. Jesus here is inviting those who love and believe God to ask and receive from His hand those spiritually valuable gifts that He bestows. And so this text is an appeal to know the Father in a personal way through divinely designed personal engagement with Him. And from the very first relationship that God had with mankind, going all the way back to the Garden of Eden, we observe God's purposeful engagement of human hearts to draw them near in close relation to Himself. And the believer's pursuit of God is the path in which all of the pleasures of God, of knowing God, are realized. And we're invited here on that path: ask, seek, knock. The heart of this pursuit is a heart of dependence, and that really is the essence of prayer. Prayer is an expression of dependence upon God. And our dependence in prayer on the Father to perform His will with His wisdom and working places our hearts in that proper starting position. What we pray is not according to our own will, not with our own wisdom and work, but it is fully dependent upon God. Notice in three particular verses the dependence upon which prayer is built. 1 John 3:22, "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight." 1 John 5:14, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us." James 4:3, "Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss," or in error, "that ye may consume it upon your lusts." So prayer is full dependence upon God. And that's the spirit of prayer that we're invited to in this morning's text. You know, it's human nature to want to come to God and to desire to ask and receive anything that our little heart desires. But prayer has prerequisites, doesn't it? And we see those in Scripture. We want to start with that understanding. There's no point in prayer unless we're praying for God's will to be done. And so notice as we read verses 7 through 12, "Ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask Him? Therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets." Let's pray. Our Father, we ask that Your word might go forth in power. May it reach its mark as Your Holy Spirit directs it. I pray that we would allow You to delicately, lovingly, graciously apply Your truth to our hearts. Father, I pray that You would make of us mature followers of Christ through the preaching of Your word this morning. I pray that, Lord, there would be no opinion, no thought expressed this morning but that your word, Lord, validates it. I pray, Father, that you would be glorified in our time together in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to consider, first of all, in verses 7 and 8, the appeal from the Son. The appeal from the Son. Again, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. These three commands are given to Jesus here by this crowd of followers. Ask, seek, knock. This is more, however, than just an open invitation for the believer. These are imperatives. These are requirements. These are absolutely essential in any believer's relationship with God. In the sense, in the original language of these verbs, is to keep on. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. So it is a consistent and a persistent practice that Jesus is calling people to. And we must understand as God's children that the Christian life can't be lived without this kind of petitioning. God has designed prayer as a crucial component to our spiritual well-being and to His glory. He delights to answer. He delights to give, to be found, to open the door. And the emphasis that Jesus gives here is not on the command, but rather on the response to the command when it's obeyed. You'll notice again, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. And again, he reiterates in verse 8, everyone that asketh receiveth, he that seeketh findeth, to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. And so the emphasis, the point here, is on the result of what God will do, what God will give. Ask, receive, seek, find, knock, enter. Is everyone engaged in real asking receives? Everyone engaged in real seeking finds. And everyone engaged in real knocking will find the door opened to them. That's simple, isn't it? And the simplicity of what Christ is teaching here really is stark. Petition God in complete dependence upon His will, His wisdom, His working, and you will be answered. We touched on 1 John chapter 5, read verse 14. I'll read it again with verse 15 as well. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. John chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. Jesus said to His disciples, whatsoever ye shall ask in My name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in My name, I will do it. And so we see the promise all throughout the Scriptures. Ask, and it shall be given you. But He also says, seek. The truth is that God doesn't hide from those who seek Him. He says, seek, and ye shall find. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 through 14, prophet Jeremiah communicates God's message to His people Israel, and he says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon Me, and ye shall go and pray unto Me, and I will hearken unto you. We hear that first verse 11 all the time. I know the thoughts that I think toward you. But notice the very next verse. Call upon Me. I know the thoughts I think toward you, those thoughts of peace, those thoughts of evil, to give you an expected end. But in essence, he's saying, ask of me so that I can do it. Pray to me, call upon me. Again, then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I have caused you to be carried away captive. He's giving these struggling people, these desolate people, hope. And he's telling them that I have these thoughts of peace toward you. I have an intention to give you an expected end, but you must come to me. You must ask. You must call upon me. You must seek me, and you'll find me when you search for me with all your heart. In Isaiah 55 and verse 6, he reiterates, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. And the underlying understanding there is that God will answer. He will make himself known. In 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse 9, David says to Solomon, know that the Lord God of thy father, know thou the Lord God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. That's the way that our God works. Our Creator has designed that he be found as he is sought. And so you must understand that it is the glory of God to answer his children. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. It's the glory of God to answer his children. And when the child of God petitions him out of pure dependence, it is incumbent upon God's glory to answer. And so we see, number one, the appeal from the Son to seek God, to pursue him in prayer. But I want you to notice in verses 9 through 11, the answer from the Father. Or what man is there whom, if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? It's almost like he anticipated that some would think, well, this is too good to be true. Ask and it'll be given me. Seek and I'll find. Knock and the door will be opened unto me. Everyone that asketh receiveth. He that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Can it really be true? It's almost like Jesus anticipated that thought in people's minds, and so he gives an earthly illustration to show the absolute undeniability of this truth in verses 7 and 8. So to further prove the heart of God to answer prayer and to answer it well, Christ appeals to what men know about a loving earthly father. And he presents the rhetorical question, what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? Fish and bread, obviously, they're representing just the basic material needs, food, the necessities of life. What father would deny his son the basic necessities of life? Even a flawed and sinful earthly father will respond well to his child's petition for the most basic of needs. What man is there? Not one. Not one good, loving father. Though he's flawed, though he's not perfect, would deny his son food and allow his son to starve. And so Jesus then says in verse 11, if ye then, being evil, and by the way, that word evil there doesn't have here that sense of being sinister or absolutely corrupt, but it has the old English understanding of just being flawed. If ye then being evil, being human, being sinful, a sinful human being, making mistakes. If ye then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? So Christ here poses a teachable question in comparison. If a sinful father cares to meet his child's petition, how much more plausible is it that your heavenly Father would give good things to his children who ask? And isn't that what we know about our heavenly Father? Don't we know that he is a good father that gives good gifts, whose heart toward his children is always loving and good? Psalm 34 and verse 10, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. James chapter 1 verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God never waffles, he never wavers, he's always the same, and he will always do what's good and what's right. The good giving of God is rooted in his great goodness. Psalm 31 verse 19, oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Psalm 107, verse 9, he satisfieth the living soul, the longing soul, and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. You see, Christ promised to these that he's teaching here in Matthew 7 and to all that he inhabits is that the heart of God is to answer his children in perfect goodness for his good glory. How much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? The answer of God to give good things in response to real prayer is what the believer ought to find great confidence in when he prays. When you pray, do you pray as if he is that Father in heaven who gives good things? Do you pray as if he has heaven and earth at his fingertips to provide anything and everything that you need? Do you pray as if his divine power has enabled you to have every spiritual resource in Christ? This is the answer from the Father. All that you need is yours in him. Perhaps you need to kneel in prayer knowing that God answers and that he answers well. Perhaps you need to refresh your approach to the throne with an understanding of the principles upon which prayer operates. Perhaps you need to refresh your approach to the throne with a confidence of faith, knowing that God answers and that he answers well according to his perfect goodness. Sometimes we have to adjust our heart to his will and our understanding to his will. And sometimes we have to lay aside our preconceived notions. But we can always come to the throne knowing with absolute confidence that God will answer according to his will. And that as we seek His will and His wisdom and His working in our lives, that He will be found. That the door will be opened. And so we see the appeal of the Son. We see the answer of the Father. And in verse 12, we see the attitude of the believer. He says, therefore, building upon these thoughts, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. We call this the golden rule. And this command ties directly to the previous five verses. We've seen in those verses a description of the loving way in which the Father pours out His goodness upon those who ask and seek Him. And now in verse 12, we see a call to reflect the goodness of the Father as has been described to us. This is a call to reflect the goodness of the Father to those around us. And the truth is that the perfect love of our Heavenly Father, who gives good things to them that ask Him, that perfect love is most reflected in the lives of those who treat others as they desire to be treated themselves. And what Jesus presents here in verse 12 really is the equivalent to what He said in another place as a second great commandment. Love thy neighbor as thyself. In other words, apply the same level of interest, the same level of care, the same level of concern to those around you as you do to yourself. What you would that men should do to you, do you even so to them. Jesus tells His listeners that this attitude of heart and this practice in the life captures the heart of all that was commanded to God's people Israel in the Law and the Prophets. The end of verse 12. This is the law in the prophets. It's all summed up in this. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Paul echoes that in Romans chapter 13, verses 8 through 10. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. If there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And of course, in one of Christ's great parables on forgiveness, He illustrates the principle of verse 12 in that servant who had been forgiven much but was unwilling to forgive a little. And in Matthew chapter 18, his Lord, after that He had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? All things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. So as you go to prayer to your Heavenly Father, who gives only good gifts to them that ask Him, as you go to Him in prayer, be sure that you have the heart of your Father towards those around you who would desire of you. Do unto them as you would have them do unto you. The tenor of the life of the believer ought to be one of freely approaching the Father for all that is required to fulfill His will, and also freely offering to others all that is desired for God's will to be completed in them. And so in closing, I have one primary question to ask this morning. Is the will of God being accomplished in your life? The invitation of our text this morning shows us that if the will of God is not at work in you, then the problem's not with God. The problem is with you. Because the promise is plain and the promise is clear and the promise is always going to be fulfilled. If you ask, it'll be given you. If you seek, you'll find. And if you knock, it will be opened unto you. Is the will of God being accomplished in you? If it's not, the problem is not with God. He is a good Father that bestows good things on His children. And He does not fail to do so when the proper conditions are met. If the working of His will is absent from your life, there may be one of three problems present. Number one, you may not be His child. And if you're not His child, then you don't have a relationship with Him, and you don't have the privilege, the right, to ask and to receive, to seek and find, to knock and to find the door open to you. But of course, the invitation is open to be His child. That could be one problem. The second problem could be that you may not be asking, seeking, or knocking. What is your prayer life like? Do you take the time? Do you take advantage of the privilege that He's given to you to ask, to seek, to knock? There seems to almost be a progression with what Jesus says here in verse 6. Ask, seek, knock. It's almost as if that pursuit gets more intense. I wonder how intense you are about going to God for His will to be done in your life. So maybe the problem is that you're not asking, seeking, and knocking, or at least not seriously. The third problem, if you're not receiving, if you're not finding, if the door's not being opened unto you, the third problem could be that you are asking, seeking, and knocking for the wrong things. At the very beginning, I read James chapter 4, where James says, "You ask and receive not because ye ask amiss." In other words, you're asking in error, that ye may consume it upon your own lusts. In other words, you're not seeking for God's will to be done. You're seeking for your will to be done. Sometimes we don't find an answer. Sometimes we don't have the door open to us because we're asking, seeking, and knocking for the wrong things or with the wrong motivation. The Holy Spirit is gracious to honestly reveal those problems to us. And so I ask you this morning again, is the will of God being accomplished in your life? Are you asking, seeking, and knocking? Are you asking, seeking, and knocking for the right things with the right motives? How joyful, how glorious it is when the good Father answers with good things to them that ask Him. Our Father in heaven, I pray that You would prove our hearts, that You would test us to show the content of our heart, Lord, whether it is of faith, whether it is pure in motive. And Father, I ask, Lord, that You would refine our hearts and thus our prayers, that we would have pure desires, that we have pure motives, that we would allow You to be the good and gracious Heavenly Father that You truly are. Grow us in our understanding of the ways in which You provide for Your children. And help our hearts to become more and more dependent and tied to Your gracious provision in our lives. I pray, Lord, that we would be burdened deeply, that we would be moved strongly within with the need that we have to know you in a way that we see you answering. Lord, in a way in which we are constantly finding you, and the door is continually being opened to us. I pray that you would work deeply in our heart to see this passage become more and more of a strong reality in our lives. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. If you stand with me with your heads bowed and eyes closed, and I invite you to spend a moment in prayer according to the need of your heart, whatever it is. Maybe there's a lack of prayerfulness, a lack of seeking God in your life. Maybe your prayers are sullied by wrong motives or wrong desires. Would you take a moment, spend time as music is played, spend time with the Lord in prayer and yield yourself, confess where's needed, and ask the Lord to teach you to ask, to seek, and to knock for His glory.